May we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we just thank you for this morning where we can come and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you might open up our minds to your word. I pray that you would speak to us through the indwelling of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone who does not know you today, that they would surrender their life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone asked me the other day if I was going to be in town this weekend. And this fall, I will celebrate 15 years of preaching. So this is my 14th Easter sermon. And the day that I want to be out of town on Easter Sunday is the day that I need to hang it up. You couldn't drag me out of the pulpit on Easter Sunday. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to our faith. And if I were to ask people what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means to them, some people would say, well, that means that I get into heaven is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that answer is true. We do get into heaven through our belief in Jesus Christ. Others would say, well, that means that I have grace through Jesus Christ, through the resurrection. That answer is valid as well. But what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ say about our life today? What does it mean to us on a daily basis as believers? It's my hope today that when we leave, that you will have a firm knowledge on the depth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul gives the answer to that question in Romans chapter 6. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. And as Paul writes the church of Rome, he starts out in chapter 6 with a question. The question is, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And that's a very important question, because Paul knew that his critics would charge that the preaching of grace would mean the liberty of sin. He knew that that's what critics would accuse him of. The preaching of grace would create a liberty in sin. And I think, unfortunately, that is the battle that we are fighting in America today, because there are large numbers of people who profess the name of Jesus Christ but show no evidence of the power of His resurrection. Their lack in church attendance, their Bible reading is deficient, their prayer life is non-existent, they show no signs of the power of God in their life. They are Christian in name only. So when you look at that question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, it's okay that I live a carnal life. It's okay that I'm not dedicated to the church. It's okay that I don't pick up my Bible. It's okay that I don't pray. It's okay that I don't follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, because after all, I'm under an umbrella of grace. How many people do you know this Easter morning that have that belief? It is okay that they live a life apart from Christ, because somewhere in their life that they made a decision for Christ, but they've never surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. What shall we say then? shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, he gives an answer in verse 2. He says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? See, the Bible says that I am dead to sin. I am dead to sin. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you are dead to sin. Now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, why am I dead to sin? Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ so important to me as a believer? Well, he then goes on and he talks about the centrality of Christ. We are identified with Christ through several different things. Why am I dead to sin? Because I have been identified with Christ through His death. Look at verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Now, Paul, and there's a couple of examples of this in some other of his letters, he's not talking about our physical baptism here. He's speaking metaphorically. And he's saying, just as you and I would say that we were baptized by fire, it's our identity. See, we have identified ourselves with Jesus Christ in His death. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your identity with Jesus Christ? Are you identified with Jesus Christ? Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You've put on Christ. Galatians 5:24 says, "Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires." In other words, as I put my faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I am saying that I am giving up my life, my will, my desires, my passions. I've crucified them with Jesus Christ. They're dead. They're dead. That's why the cross is the centrality of our faith. The cross and resurrection is the center point. The Bible says that our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And from the beginning of the world, the prophets all looked towards the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, as you and I celebrate Easter Sunday, we look back on the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the center point of our faith. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we've said that we have been baptized into His death, that we have put on Jesus Christ, that self is gone. Jesus Christ said that if you want to follow Him, what do you have to do? Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Him. Now, some people look at that as the end. It is a life of denial. Just denial. And I'll have to say that if you are trying to live your life through works, you just live a life of denial. But see, we identify with Christ in two different ways. One is that we identify with Christ in His death. But we also identify with Christ through His resurrection. Look back at Romans 6, starting again in verse 4. It says, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection." Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. See, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we express our belief that He paid our sin debt on the cross. He paid it all, didn't He? A debt had to be paid. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You and I faced death and eternal separation from God apart from Christ. But when Jesus Christ willingly gave His life on the cross, He took all of the wrath of God that was meant for you and me and placed it upon Himself and paid our debt. He paid our debt. Just like that great song that I love. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt that I could not pay. That's what you have in the death of Jesus Christ. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He proclaimed His victory over sin and death. And it says that we're new. We're new. Now, let's talk about that because that's important. You could look at that as saying, well, I'm new and I've been rehabilitated. And it's kind of a start over. It's not rehabilitation. It's not rehabilitation. He did not reform us. It says that we have been completely changed. That we are new. The correct doctrinal term for that is we're regenerated. We're brand new. We're brand new through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Think back when you met Jesus Christ, if you're a believer this morning, how you felt. I remember when I met Jesus, it just felt like the burden of the world went away. Now, that wasn't a temporary euphoria. It explains what happens when we give our faith to Jesus Christ, is that He changes us. We're new. Why did I feel like the world had been taken away from me? It's because I was a new person in Jesus Christ. We celebrate today because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. That's why today is so special. It's because we're new. I think we've forgotten to celebrate that every day as a believer. We're new. We're new people. Now, it just doesn't give us the ability to just start over. There's something more to it than that. See, He doesn't say, "Well, Monty, I paid your sin debt, and I've made you a new creature, and now we'll see how you do. You're going to start over." That's not what it's about. See, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday is important to us because not only do we identify with Jesus Christ in His death, not only do we identify with Jesus Christ in His resurrection, but we also identify with Jesus Christ in His victory. Look at verse 7 of Romans 6. It says, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He showed that He was victorious in the fact that He paid our sin debt. And in paying our sin debt, He showed that He swallowed up the death and the penalty of sin. It goes on and says, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through my faith in Jesus Christ, through your faith in Jesus Christ, we should reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. Now think about that. Think about the person who has a casual attitude about their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's okay that I'm not obedient. God understands. No, He does not. He does not. We have sat for decades and listened to a cheap grace be preached in the pulpits of America. And my friends, I will tell you right now, God does not understand if you are casual about your obedience to Jesus Christ. He did not give His life on the cross, shed His precious blood, so that you could go out and do what you want to. That is not faith in Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ is when we crucify our passions and desires on the cross with Jesus Christ, when we die with Christ, and then through that new life, we live an obedient life. It is the victory that we have this morning through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we're new. Being new, I have a new attitude. Remember when I used to get in trouble at home when I was a kid? My dad would say, "You better get a new attitude." Well, that's what we have with Jesus Christ. We have a new attitude. A new attitude with the Lord Jesus because we have been changed. We have been transformed. Galatians 2, 19 through 21. Says, "For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." You cannot experience victory today by trying to flesh out works. Not going to happen. I tried for years. I'd sit in church and I'd hear the preacher preach and I would get convicted of my sin. And as I would leave, I'd say, "I'm not going to do that anymore. I will myself that I will not do that anymore." And I would fail in the first 30 minutes of leaving the church. See, that's legalism. When you will yourself, that's legalism. If you could do that, if we could leave and say, I'm going to will myself, why would Jesus die on the cross for us? But see, He died on the cross so that we might have life. And how you have the victorious life through Jesus Christ is that the more that you surrender, the more you'll find victory in Jesus Christ. See, it's not through our own desire to be self-righteous. It's through the surrender of our life to Jesus Christ where we read His Word more. See, Jesus says the Word is truth. The Word is truth. How do I know the truth for my life? How do I get victory for my life? It's that I read His Word. Through the reading of His Word, through the surrender of my will, through the pouring out and pleading of my life in prayer, I find victory, you find victory. You'll never, ever find it on your own. I guarantee you that if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and say, I am going to put everything at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to be a follower of Christ. I'm going to consistently read His Word. I'm going to consistently pray. I'm going to consistently attend church. You will find the power of Christ in your life. We identify with Him with His death. We identify with Him in His resurrection. We identify with Him in His victory. And in doing so, out of obedience and a love for the Lord, we present ourselves to Him. Look at Romans 6, verse 12. Romans 6, verse 12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. God would be a cruel God if He told us to do something and would not give us the power to accomplish it. It would be like looking at a lame man expecting them to run. That's cruel. That's cruel. Same thing with God. But see, that's not what happened at the cross. Through His victory over death and over sin, you and I have the ability to live a righteous life through focusing on Jesus Christ. That's why He says in verse 12, therefore, talks about the death of Jesus Christ, talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, talks about the victory of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 12, He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But, here's the important part. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, I want you to pay really close attention because this is so important. And for years, I missed this as a believer of Jesus Christ. People used to say, well, I'm not under the law anymore. You're under grace. Which many people translate that you can do what you want. God just kind of winks at you. It's all right, because after all, you've expressed your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you slip and fall, well, you're not under law. You're under grace. Does that mean that I can live my life however I want? What does that mean? What's the difference between the law and grace? Why is Resurrection Sunday so much more important than the law? The law brought us to Christ. That's what the Bible says. The law is the tutor that brings us to Christ. That's what Paul wrote. It's the tutor that brings us to Christ. In other words, if there wasn't a law, we would never know that we were in sin, right? The law shows that we are in sin. Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, get to know them. It's the law. Every time I read the law, I'm convicted that I'm falling short and I need Jesus Christ. I can't keep the law. Now, the Bible says that I am not under the law, but I am under grace. I'm under grace. Look at Romans 7:6. Romans 7:6. Paul writes, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." You may be here this morning and you may have tried to live the Christian life in your own will. In your own will. And you've not found victory. Still trying to live it from a legalistic standpoint. But what did Christ do to the requirement of the law? The requirement was is that you and I had a sin debt to pay, and He paid it for us. And He was nailed to the cross, and He paid our debt. Identify with His death. He then rose from the grave. And when He rose from the grave, it shows that I have newness in life. The Bible says that I am a new man in Christ Jesus. In other words, I've been transformed. You've been given the Holy Spirit. And through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, He changes you. You remember, I said I used to try to will myself to live the Christian life, and I would find failure. But let me tell you something. One day, I just decided that I was going to surrender my life to Christ and that I wanted a relationship with Christ and that I was just going to worry about reading His Word, praying, having a true relationship with Christ. And those things that I struggled with, that quite frankly, if I mentioned to them to you right now, would be very embarrassing. One day I woke up and I thought, I don't struggle with that anymore. When did that happen? Well, it wasn't me, because I wasn't trying to will myself any longer. What happened? Through surrendering my life to Christ, Christ replaced the sin with Himself. That's victory, my friends. That's victory. That's newness. That's newness. We have it. Jesus Christ is alive right now, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. He's alive. He's alive. And you and I, if you've expressed your belief in Jesus Christ this morning, you are alive in Christ. And He gives you the desire to know more about Him, to have His character, to strive to live like Him. Now, some of you this morning may know Jesus Christ, and somewhere along the line you decided that you had a license to sin. You don't. You don't have a license to sin. You don't have a license to break the Ten Commandments. In fact, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, you're to live for Him. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's what God says. Some of you this morning may be here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've never asked for the forgiveness that you need for sin.
You've never invited Christ in your life. You've never surrendered your life to Christ. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And if you've never given your life to Christ, I'm going to invite you to ask Christ in your life. And instead of having a short invitation conversion, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to set up an appointment with me where we can sit down and discuss at length what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. What's Christ asking us to do? It's important that you understand that. Or maybe you're just living a life apart from Christ. Maybe Christ is not number one. Christ is not number one in your life right now. I can guarantee you that you will never, ever find the happiness that you're looking for apart from Christ. Because God says that if you're really His child, that He will chastise you. You will face chastisement until you surrender. Is that where you're at this morning? Will you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning, let me ask you a simple question. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know His power? Do you know His forgiveness? Do you know His steadfastness? If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, there is only one way to have peace with God, and that's through surrender. Recognize Him as Savior and Lord. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Ask for forgiveness of sins and repent, which means that you're going to have to stop doing what you're doing. Repent and turn to Christ. If you've never asked Christ in your life this morning, I'm going to invite you to ask Him into your heart and receive salvation today. Yes, you'll get eternal life, but right now you'll get a new life and a new walk through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and I want you to ask yourself this question. You know Jesus Christ, but you've been living your life according to your own will and desires. Have you really crucified your desires and passions upon the cross with Christ Jesus? Who's number one? You or Him? If He's not number one, you will never find happiness. You'll never find peace. You'll never find contentment because you are right now in God's kingdom and you are trying to live the life of an unsaved person, and you'll never find happiness in that. If you need to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to rededicate your life to Christ today. Put Him number one in your life. Our Father, I just thank You so much for life. Life through Christ. I praise You that we have a new life through Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that if there's someone here that needs to surrender their life today, that they would do so. We thank You for the power. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You that we can stand before Your throne with boldness because of Your grace. In Jesus' name. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? If He is, don't delay. Is He speaking to you? Amen. You may be seated.